Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 10, and then we'll read a verse there. And then while we still are standing in just a moment, I'll direct you to a couple other places, and we'll turn there together and read a few more verses. We'll start in Deuteronomy chapter number 10 and verse number 19. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Well, let's back up to verse number 17. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse number 17. And we'll read down through verse number 19. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter number 10 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." Now remember that verse 19. "Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." Now let's go to Romans chapter number 12. We'll go over into the New Testament, the book of Romans, and chapter number 12. The book of Romans, chapter number 12. And let's look at verse number 9. Romans, chapter number 12, and verse number 9. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. And honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." Notice verse 13, "distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality." We are to love the strangers, and we are to be given to hospitality. Let's go now to Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13. And we'll begin in verse number 1. Hebrews 13, verse number 1. "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we take the Bible principles from each of these passages of Scripture, it will help us and Lord, make us better for you, dear God, better as a church. Lord, help me to be better as a pastor. Lord, I just pray, dear God, as we address a very specific and I think very narrow direct issue, dear Lord, that it will help prepare us for the weeks ahead, dear Lord, and help us to have a greater impact on people for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in His name. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, I mentioned this morning that I was going to share some things with you because I had the opportunity to do something that honestly I haven't done in decades. It's been years and years and years since I've had an opportunity to do something quite like this. And of course, many of you know that I took a couple weeks off and on the 2-year anniversary of my cancer diagnosis and just took a little reset time and a little me and Jesus and my Can-Am motorcycle time. And I took a trip and by myself, and someone asked me, I think Brother Jack Gordon came to me and he said, "You know, preacher, I prayed so much during this trip that firstly, you know, he's always the one that helps us keep our buses running. So he's always concerned about the vehicles. And he said, I prayed that your motorcycle would run. Well, 4,033 miles, Brother Gordon's prayers got me there and got me back on that. And and then he said, but mostly I prayed that it just would be whatever you needed, that you would receive whatever you needed. You know, it's good to have mature Christians in your church that, you know, don't get upset like a 7-year-old every time the preacher's gone and instead prays for his preacher, encourages his preacher, and has a little bit maybe of an insight and understanding of what 37 years in the ministry and 2 years of cancer might take a toll on a guy and how maybe it would be good for him and the church if he had a little reset time. I appreciate that level of maturity. I really do. And so I got to do something I haven't done in a long time. By the way, I told you the other night, I shouldn't share so many details, but I wore the clothes on my back and I had in a backpack 3 change of clothes, okay? That's all a man needs. That's probably overpacking for a man, to be honest with you. You could do it in one, couldn't you? And then just find a farm pond every once in a while, jump in it, get on the bike, let it dry you off. You'd be good. Don't ever go on a trip with Brian Morse, all right? Because I don't know if that'd be a healthy thing or not, but he thinks I overpack, David. But I promise you, there were some things not in that backpack. There was not a dress shirt in that backpack. There was not a suit in that backpack. Had there been, it would not have looked good, me putting it on and walking into the church. There wasn't a tie in the backpack. Thank God, there was not a tie in the backpack. Now, halfway through the trip, I thought, man, I should have brought one. I could have tied it around my head like a bandana. You know, and that would have turned some heads. There you go. And so, but you know, I think I used the term in front of our church. I want to do a hard disconnect. And again, I'm not going to try to explain things. If you, I think, understand, you have an understanding, mature understanding, you'll understand. If you don't, I can't help you. So I don't waste breath. But it was really good. I came to him. I don't remember coming off of a trip and coming back to church more clear and clean in my heart, my head. Revived, restored, helped. And so if that offended a few of you, I sure am sorry about that, but it was good for me. Now, here's the deal. You know, I'm going undercover, okay? Here's the deal. I left the preacher cloak here. I didn't bring a suit, didn't bring a tie. I'm going to church because I'm a Christian. Amen? I'm going to church because I'm a Christian. And that's what Christians ought to do, is they ought to go to church. And so I ended up going to 5 different churches in 4 different states. And I'm not going to tell you what churches and what states. It don't really matter. But I got to do something that I hardly ever get to do in my life. And that's just pull into the driveway of church. By the way, I always picked a church I'd never been to before. I picked a church I knew that I didn't know the preacher. But I made sure it was an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing King James Bible church, of course. But the whole idea was to fly under the radar. Strategy, come in right on time or a few minutes late, slip into the back. If you're asked, who are you? I see a visitor back there. I'm Jerry. I'm from Indiana. I'm just passing through. That's all the information I'm giving. You know why? Because I'm doing a hard disconnect. And I just wanted to show up at church, honestly, and I mean this. I went into these churches, and I enjoyed every single church, and I was blessed with every single message I heard. And it sure was nice, honestly, just to come for a couple of weeks and go and sit like a normal human being and just say, Lord, feed me. And by the way, you know what? I prayed over where I should go. I think the churches I was in, I was supposed to be in. I think God prepared the preacher to help me and be a blessing to me. I didn't fall asleep. I didn't let my mind wander. I came to hear. I came to be blessed. I came to be fed. And by the way, even though these were different churches, I didn't walk into one of those churches with a spirit of judgment or let me see what I like or don't like. I just showed up and just said, Lord, I just want to come back here, root for the preacher, listen to the message, be blessed by the singing, and be helped so that I can get back on my bike and continue this trip. And the Lord was so good, and he blessed me and fed me, and I think gave me exactly what I wanted. Now, here's the thing that's different, you know, drastically different from what I do every week in my life. And that is, you know, first of all, I went to church and I didn't have any responsibilities. I went to church. I wasn't expected there. I went to church and nobody knew who I was. And I went to church looking like some homeless biker derelict that just blew off the street with my hair kind of back and combed it as best I could and slipped in the back. And I just went to church. Now, what's the deal with that, preacher? Well, you know, again, I didn't go to these churches with my little critical notepad. I didn't go to every church was a little different. Every service was run a little different. Every preacher had a different style. But, you know, they all sang the old-time hymns, and they all preached from the King James Bible. And you know what? I just sit back there and smiled and enjoyed every bit of it. But, folks, here's what I'm getting to. I got to be a visitor. I got to be an unexpected visitor. I am in churches that I am not a member of regularly during the year. But folks, when I go to these churches, it's because I've been invited to come and preach in these churches. Okay, so they know I'm coming. They know who I am, okay? I mean, you know, I'll pick up the bulletin, there's my picture, or I'll look back on the back and there's a poster with my name, or I'll drive in the, there's a, okay, so I'm not sneaking up on them, okay? When they got your name on the sign, you're not sneaking up on them, okay? And so when I'm out, I'm expected. When I'm out, I'm not treated the same way as I would if I walked in the back of a church, nobody knew me from Adam, and we just have a visitor. I will tell you, that was good for me. That was really, many of you are already relating to this because you've had those experiences and those times when you were on vacation, and you know, sometimes you purposely pick a church where you already know people or know the pastor, or you have some, but sometimes you're on vacation, you're heading a direction and you just, hey, let's take a look, you know, let's find out, find a church that's, you know, the one, like one we would enjoy going, and let's just walk in, and you've never been there and they don't know you, and you really get the visitor experience of what it's like to be a first-time visitor. And so, you know what, folks, church is my life. And by the way, I love it here. And when I'm not here in one of our services, I'm like I mentioned, I'm usually not a stranger. But for those 2 weeks, you know what, nobody knew me as Pastor Jerry Ross. Nobody knew that I've written books. Nobody knew that I was, preaching youth conferences and camps. I mean, I think I told you the night one church, the pastor's daughter figured out who I was, and before I could get out the door, she had found a copy of Stay in the Castle, I have no idea from where, and chased me down to get me. But that was the only exception, and other than that, I walked in, greeted people, shared my name when I was asked, enjoyed the service, walked out, shook a few hands, got on my bike, and headed down the road. And, you know, everything you experience in life, boy, how many times did I say this? I want you to believe it. Everything you experience in life, God can teach you things from it. If you've got your antennas up, if you're listening to the Holy Spirit, everything that you experience in life, the Holy Spirit can teach you things. Now, let's look back at our three verses, okay? And I'm not going to have you turn back to them, but I'll read them to you again, and then let's talk about them. Deuteronomy 10:19, the Bible says, love ye therefore the stranger. And the verse before that tells us that God loves the stranger and he provides for them. So he said, if God's going to love the stranger, you ought to love the stranger. Love ye therefore the stranger. Why? Now this is interesting. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Now think about that. Deuteronomy 10 teaches us to use our past experiences, think about that, to help us know how to treat others here in the present. God then commanded the Israelites to love and show love to these strangers. And so he said, you know, there was a day when you were the strangers. There was a day when you were in a strange situation. That's why I say that many of you can relate to this. You remember what it's like to visit a church and nobody knew you and you walked in, and you know, I'm sure that that probably spoke to your heart. You may have been just overwhelmed with the kindness and the greetings, and or you may have been ignored completely, and you kind of walk out thinking, wow, so that's what that feels like. And God said, listen, take your experiences, think about that, okay? When you visited a church and nobody knew you, when you were a stranger, you know what? Were you loved? Were you loved? Because the Bible, think about this, God commanded the Israelites to love and show love to strangers, to people that they have never met before in their life. Now, folks, think about that. That's pretty strong. God didn't say just to notice them. He didn't just say to look at them. He didn't just say to greet them. God commanded you and me to show love through this Bible principle precept. I know it was written to the Israelites, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So God says, hey, remember times in your life when you were in an awkward situation where you didn't know anybody and how much it meant to you for someone to come to you and show you love. Romans chapter 12, gives the saints of God, by the way, a whole flurry of commands. And by the way, each one of them is worth our attention. As I'm reading down through this, let love be without dissimulation, abhor which that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectionate. Okay, we could take all night and just go through these and have a sermon for every one. But the last command given in verse 13 that we read was this, given to hospitality. Romans 12 gives the saints of God a flurry of commands. And then the last one, he reminds us to be, now think about the phrase here, given to hospitality. Now let's start with the word hospitality. Hospitality here comes from the root Greek word phileo. Hey, y'all remember the discussion Peter had with Jesus. Lovest thou me more than these? Jesus was, you've heard this before, was using the word agape. And Peter was answering, say, well, Lord, I phileo thee. And he wasn't using the same word as Jesus was using. But the word phileo is a beautiful word. The word phileo means to have a fondness for or a Christian affection for somebody. It is a beautiful word. It's an expression of friendship and kindness. And it's not a bad word. Maybe Peter fell short and should have used agape, but he didn't use a bad phrase there. Romans chapter 12, think about this, tells us to be given to hospitality. It's what it means to be fond of strangers. Now think about this, to want to and to show Christian affection to someone you've never met before. Boy, think about that. You say, preacher, I'm not sure that's in me. I'm not sure that's in any of us, but I think God can put it in us. I think God could put it in us. The Bible uses the word given. Now, folks, this is a strong word. That word means to pursue. Now, think about that. So the command is to make it one of the pursuits of your life to look for opportunities to express hospitality, to show genuine godly affection to people that you've never met before. Isn't that interesting? And so we're told to love the strangers. We're told to be given to hospitality. And then one of the most remarkable verses in all the Bible. I love this verse in Hebrews chapter number 13. And it encourages us to be not forgetful. Let me read the verse again. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. I don't know about you, but that's one of those verses that just kind of blows my mind a little bit, you know. It'd be one thing if it stopped after the command, be not forgetful, or the reminder, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. But then it makes this statement, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And so in this portion of Scripture, this is something that we are encouraged not to neglect, to be fearful to neglect. The command is then to entertain strangers, to be hospitable to those we have never met. Then it makes an amazing statement, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You say, preacher, well, that can't really mean what I think it means. Yes, it does. I just put the word beside this verse, wow, okay? I don't know if that's as spiritual as amen, but wow, because that's just one of those wow verses. What does that really mean? It means what it says. Some have hosted, lodged, entertained, played host to angelic messengers, and they were unaware at the time of who they were. And that unawares means without knowing so, unwittingly or ignorantly. And I think God gave us that as a little bit of motivation. Okay, listen, I've told you to love the strangers. I've told you to exercise and to be given to hospitality, but I'm just gonna give you a little added motivation, okay? The one time that you kind of think you're too busy, or you look at somebody and you know you really ought to get over to them, but you just got set down and you're tired that day, you might remember that might be an angelic messenger that I sent down. And by the way, if I send him down, he's coming back and he's gonna give a little bit of a report. And if he's gonna bring up my name, I hope that he said, hey, there's a preacher down in Jasonville that went out of his way to really make sure I felt welcome and that I had my needs met and to see if I needed anything. Angels unaware. Now, okay, I'm giving you a lot of things, but now let's kind of Let's kind of filter these things together, okay? And as I took the trip, I had a lot of on the road time. I had a lot of thinking time. And so, you know, I take these little experiences from one church to the other, and God begins to weave them together. And again, I didn't go into a church with a checklist. I'm not here to report that some churches were bad and some churches were good. I will say this, though, folks, some churches were more prepared for visitors. Some churches reacted more biblically towards a stranger than other churches. Doesn't make them bad churches. I think probably we've done a really good job some Sundays of, and maybe you can say that, come on, I'll take it. Can you take it? All right. That some Sundays, preacher, I did a really good job and got around to people. And some Sundays I just didn't have my antennas up and I noticed people, but I didn't make a strong enough effort. Listen, given to pursue it, a pursuit. Okay. And so I just let down a little bit. And, you know, somebody could come to Blessed Hope on a Sunday where we're all off our game a little bit, and they could walk away if we're not careful and say, well, that's not much of a friendly church. I'm not sure I want to be back there. This is good for us. Hey, Lord, just teach me something. Teach me. I want to take these Bible truths. I want to take these fresh experiences. I want to, so as I'm writing, I'm thinking these things through, and the Holy Spirit's teaching me some things. Now, let me just give you some things that God showed me personally by these experiences. Number one, I realized how important, and was reminded how important our ushers are. And if you're an usher at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, would you stand? I mean, even the young men that help us on Wednesday, if you usher at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, would you stand? Now, this is a group of men that we don't put the spotlight on enough. Brother Eric, of course, has been blessed of God to be ahead of this. And you know that me and him have a friendship, and me and him kid each other back and forth a little bit. And I hope everybody knows that, listen, I don't kid with people that I'm not close with, okay? And but I appreciate, Brother Eric, I appreciate you. He comes up with the schedule. He trains our ushers. He makes sure that they're on point. He does an amazing job. Brother Jeff Scales, when Brother Eric isn't here, can't be here, is his backup. And Brother Jeff, also very diligent, very detail-oriented, very conscientious. But when I walked in these churches, one of the things that I was reminded of, remember, guys, I'm not even your normal visitor. I'm your, okay, visitors that's trying to stay covert and hidden and not be noticed. And you know what I loved? I loved that, you know what, I could get by a lot of people, but I didn't get by the ushers. And but you know why? Because they were on full alert. They were watching. One of the jobs that they have, by the way, gentlemen, this is good for us. One of the jobs we have is we're ushering, is to be on high alert when it comes to looking for new people that walk in the door of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. By the way, thank you very much for being an usher. And I thought about how important our ushers are here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and how important of a position that is. Brother Eric just came to me recently, and he said, you know, Brother Matt's leaving, and when there's been some others that no longer do it. And he said, preacher, I haven't had to come to you a long time, but I'm kind of at the point where I could use some ushers, you know. And folks, they gave me a job at that church, but what they did was they just asked me to be one of the ushers. Oh, excuse me, that's not some low-level position. That's a big deal. I mean, if you're trusted by this church and trusted by this pastor to be an usher, you understand you're probably going to be the first contact person when it comes to a brand new person walking into our church. And you know what? The impression that you leave, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. So I wanted to say to our ushers tonight, thank you. I watch you watching. I watch you being careful to watch. By the way, hey, let's all up our game on that a little bit, all right? This is good. Good chance to remind us of how important it is. Say, preacher, why were you reminded? Because I was that guy walking back. And for an usher to spot me coming in right on time or at the last minute and trying to slip in and come over and greet me and make sure that I had a bulletin and see if I had a need and, made sure that I had a visitor's card and you know, all of these things, that impressed me. And I thought to myself, somebody's trained these men well. They're doing their job. Watch this. Strangers are expected here, and they've been prepared. They've prepared for them to come. And the ushers are the ones that ran point on that. And then number two, I was reminded how important a warm greeting is from the members of the congregation as well. Now, folks, we can't just, the rest of us, say, well, I'm not an usher, so I don't have to worry about, it's not my responsibility. Well, according to Deuteronomy 10:19, you're commanded to love the stranger. And by the way, you are commanded, all of us, come on, Romans 12 is not written to preachers or ushers. Every Christian ought to be given to hospitality. And then again, this motivational verse, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. So how important a warm greeting from members of the congregation, how important that is. Had a lady visit our church recently, and she told me that she's been an attendant of church for a while, and she it's a larger church, and she said, I've gone there pretty faithfully for some time now, and she said, you know what, I've never shook the pastor's hand, I never had anybody come introduce themselves, I finally got to know the people that just kind of sit in the same little area I am, but besides that, I walk in and out of the church, and I've been going there for several months, and nobody knows who I am. And she said this, preacher, nobody seems to care. And she said to me, you know, the first service I came to the church here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, six different people. Isn't it interesting, folks? Listen to me. She knew the number. She knew the number. You know, is that important? Well, it was important to her. She knew the number. Six different people from your church went up, approached me, introduced themselves, and welcomed me because they recognized somebody who hadn't been here before. Now, folks, it's good for Pastor Jerry Ross to come in and sit there. It's good for me to have people come over and give me a warm welcome. It was good for them to initiate the contact. It was, you know, visitors shouldn't feel like they have the responsibility to wander around the church shaking your hand. We have the responsibility to go find them. And so how important a warm greeting from the members of the congregation is. Number three, how nice it is for the pastor to personally seek out visitors. And, you know, I got to say, in every church except one, I got to shake the preacher's hand. And, you know, I'm not bashing the man. It was a small church. Me and one other guy were visitors that day. I got to tell you that quick story. And I pulled up into this church, and again, it doesn't matter where. I pulled up into a church, and I was got there just about right on time. Matter of fact, I was a few minutes early. Because of the time difference, I could call Cheryl real quick. So I chatted with her for a few minutes, was watching the clock. Honey, I got to get in there. And I got off the bike and started walking for the church. And the church was set up where it wasn't real obvious where the front door was. There was like two different places. I wasn't sure where to go in. And so, you know, another guy got out of his car just about the time I got off my bike, and he was walking a little ahead of me, so I thought, well, I'll just follow him. Well, he stopped, and he's looking at one door and looking at the other door, and I'm looking at one door, and I said, do you attend here? And he said, first time I've ever been here. I said, well, first time I've ever been here. And I shook the hand of an angel, I think, you know. If there was an angel unaware there, I can tell you who it was not, all right? So, but I shook this guy's hand. I said, well, a couple visitors, we don't know where we're going, so I'll follow you. Let's see what we can figure out. We walked in, and, you know, there was an usher there to be able to point us to the auditorium. And then we went there and sat in the service. And again, maybe 40 people in the church. And then, you know, now, folks, I'm going to remind you of some things, okay? So we got in there right as it started. So, you know, again, I don't expect any church member to get up during the opening song and come chase me down because I came in at the last minute. Then after the two songs, they had a handshaking time. And so during that handshaking time, the pastor was down in front and he kind of just stood right there. And he glanced at us once, but then he spent the rest of the time looking away from us. And again, folks, I'm okay, but you got 40 people and there's two new people that you've never seen before. You better go get them, okay? You need to get over to them. I think one of the things that I learned from Dad, you know, the little things that you may not think are big things is one of the reasons my dad always called on someone to dismiss in prayer and didn't dismiss in prayer himself was so that he could slip to the back. Because one of the reasons I slipped to the back, obviously, folks, I want to greet everybody. But you know what? One of the main reasons I want to be back there is because I want to catch visitors. I don't want them to leave here without having greeted Pastor Jerry Ross. Now, members, listen to me, because at times, and I don't want to be rude, and I don't mean to be rude, but I guess I just bank on your spiritual maturity and your understanding, because I'm one of these guys that if I'm talking to somebody, I want to finish that conversation. I want to have them have my full attention. But if you're a member and you're sitting back there and there's people I've never known before slipping by you and they're going to get out, please don't be mad at me for interrupting our conversation, because you know what, folks, I'm sorry, but this is a Bible command. This is not a small thing. And, you know, that man did not shake anybody's hand, and he was like within 20 feet of two visitors. And then he went to the service, and at the end of the service, he did not seek us out. And you say, are you throwing rocks at him? No, I'm saying, Lord, teach me. You know, because there's a lot of moving parts, more than most average people know, that's going on here at Sunday morning, every Sunday morning, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I come in here with a lot of things on my mind. I come in here with the message that God has burning in my heart and burdening my soul, and I'm getting ready to deliver that, so my mind's on that. But wait a minute, that's all good and fine, and we can all say those things, because many of you are very busy on Sunday morning also, and you have responsibility. But let's put this thing up near the top. Okay, where we just say to ourselves, no matter what we got going or how fast we need to get to the next place or whatever, how long does it take to stand up, sweep the auditorium with your eyes? Come on, y'all know each other, all right? This isn't a church of 1,000 people. Pick out the two or three people, and then either at that point or after the church service, just make sure you get to them. And then as a pastor, I mean, this is the point I'm on, how nice it is for the pastor to purposely seek out visitors. And so, and again, I don't have any idea. Folks, listen to me. There's been times I've dropped the ball as a pastor. There's been, hey, I don't ever overjudge anybody, okay? I don't know that guy from Adam. He could have lost his mom that week. Y'all need to listen to me, okay? Because we're just so quick to judge people, and you have no idea. Well, he should have been paying attention to me. Do you even know what's going on in his life? Okay, so let's extend some grace. Let's not be judgmental to people. Let's not be judgmental to each other. Okay, I need to do one of these little sidebars where for a handful of you, all you've thought since I've started is, yep, that's one of the problems here at Blessed Hope. People aren't friendly to me. You are on another planet, okay? You have no elementary understanding of Christianity and Christian responsibilities and what it means to be a part of the church. And some of you, I can't get you off of it, and I probably never will, okay? Maybe on your epitaph on your tombstones, it needs to say, well, it was all about me. And because I don't know what else to do to help you. But hey, we have a Bible command. We're to love people we've never met before. Well, that's impossible. No, it's not. I've never met Jesus in person, but I love him. All right. Who I love having not seen, the Bible says. And you know what you do? You pray, make that, Lord, when I come here today, help me to trade places with them in my mind. Help me to use my past experiences to think what they're probably feeling like. I may be getting ahead of myself, but folks, listen. You know, a lot of visitors that just show up, now most visitors show up at church. I'm going to tell you, I mean, the majority of people that come to church have some kind of a personal connection with somebody that's going to the church, and they've received a personal invitation from somebody that they maybe don't have a strong connection with, but they at least know or have gotten to know to the point where they've been willing to. That is where most of the visitors come from, okay? It really is. But you know what? We have people on a regular basis just walk in the door that nobody invited. And okay, now stop. Let's just, can we use a little thinking time? All right. What prompts somebody to do that? I mean, come on, think it through, you know. I think y'all are already there, aren't you? You know what I'm talking about. What is going on that made them say on a Sunday morning, I'm getting in my church and I'm going to go to that church on the highway and I'm going to walk in there, and they don't know anybody and they weren't even invited? Isn't there a real good chance that something's going on in their life that's kind of driving them or pushing them towards the Lord? And then they come in and we are so preoccupied, or, and by the way, have friends, have fellowship. I love the family atmosphere here, but folks, it can't turn into this cliquish, you know, this is our little group, you know, us four no more. And, you know, we're not paying attention to people around us, you know, because, you know, there's a reason. There was a reason that I came to that church. Now, it wasn't because, but there was something that was going on in my life that caused a circumstance for me to walk into a church I wasn't invited for. I don't know about you, but I'd like to think someone's curious about that. They might ask a couple questions about that to make sure, are you okay? Or, well, you know, what brought you here? A lot of times when I'm interacting with visitors that don't seem to have a connection to any individual here, I'll just say, can I just ask you a question? You know, what brought you here today? And sometimes they'll say, well, you know, I've just been driving by and seeing your sign, and I don't know. Just felt like I needed to come. Well, I don't know about you, but it sounds like to me God's doing something. Hey, God's doing something. I don't know what, all that's going on, but God's doing something. So how nice it was for the pastor and that. And I want to set the pattern for that. And I want to do a better job of that. Number four, how vital it is to have a plan to obtain the information of visitors so that he or she can be followed up on. This is one of the things that I was impressed in every church, again, except one, was very good, well-planned, diligent, to make sure that they had a system to be able to get me a visitor's card and to try to get the information from me. And I thought that was so important. Now, getting the information from Jerry from Indiana that's just passing through, there's a good chance they know if I tell them that I'm not coming back, but I'm glad they still wanted a record of my visit. And the young black man, he happened to be a young black man that got out of his car at the same time I got in my motorcycle. So, you know, we're the two visitors and we're coming in together and we sit down. I asked him, hey, you got anybody to sit with? You mind sitting with me? I don't know anybody. He said, yeah, I'd like to. And he sat down beside me and his name was Thomas. And so I talked to him for a few minutes and I said, Thomas, first time, so what brought you here? And he said, well, and you can tell we didn't want to go into it, but he said, you know, I've been going to another church and there's just some things. And I don't know, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to visit here. And I said, well, good. I said, I'm glad there's another visitor. I'm not the only one. And I asked him to sit with me, you know. Now, folks, something's going on in his life, okay? Are you hearing, you know? Don't just hear what people say. You hear what they don't say, okay? And by the way, shouldn't have to say sometimes. Not everybody wants to open up the first time they met you, but they do want to be made feel loved and welcome. So I sat down beside him. I mentioned that they had a handshaking time and, you know, the pastor didn't come over. And again, folks, please understand, I don't hold any animosity in my heart, but thank you, Lord, for allowing me to experience that because it helped me to realize how important that is. So I feel like that's more for what God did for me, not anything against him. And then during the handshaking time, 40-some people and three people came over and shook our hand out of 40 people, okay? And then two of them shook their hand, and they were nice. They were nice to us, but they didn't introduce themselves. They didn't give their names. They didn't ask our names. They just came and said, glad you're here, glad you're here, walked off, glad you're here, glad you're here, walked off. Then somebody came up, and he was dressed up, and I think he was probably either on staff maybe, or maybe he was just one of the main men in the church. He might have been a deacon, but he seemed to be, you know, a little more churchy looking than some of the others. I don't know how else to say it. And he started to do the same thing. And I said, hey, listen, my name's Jerry. I'm from Indiana. Now think about this. A visitor is initiating a conversation. And I said, listen, I'm driving through from Indiana, so I'm not from this area, and I'll probably never be back. But I said, let me introduce you to this guy, Thomas. I said, I bet he's been in the parking lot. And I said, he lives here. Do you have some kind of visitor's card or some way that you all could get his information? And he kind of looked at me and he said, yeah, I think we do. I'll be back, you know. And he went and got it, and Thomas took it, you know, and he filled it out. But folks, listen, Blessed Old Baptist Church, oh my goodness, we can't do that. We can't do that, you know. And again, hey, you know, I'm just telling you real life experience. I'm just telling you what God, I think, allowed to happen to me so that I could go home and say, listen, I'm not so I could throw rocks at somebody else or think how much better we're doing than that church. I'm thinking how much more better can we do than this church, amen? And how can we up our game on this? And I thought, I hope that would never happen at Blessed Old Baptist Church, where either a visitor is wanting to give their information, don't have an opportunity, and leave there thinking, well, they didn't care who I was and they didn't want to know anything about me. And, you know, he told me when we sat down, he said, And again, folks, you know, you have those moments that you just wonder, why has God put this together and why this moment? And I'm sitting beside this young man, and just a sharp kid. I don't know him from Adam, don't know what's going on in his life, but obviously something is that's brought him here. And he leaned over to me and he said, I'm probably not going to be able to stay for all the service. And I said, hey, man, that's fine, you know. I said, if you got to go, just slip out. They won't care, you know. I'm just glad you came today. And so he sat there. And I think he was waiting for a break in the message where the preacher would look down so he could slip out or something. And finally he leaned over and he said, hey, I'm gonna leave. And I said, hey, Thomas, before you do, I said, I want to tell you something. He said, okay. And I said, first of all, it's nice to meet you. And I said, secondly, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I said, God has a purpose for you. He's got a purpose for you. And that kid got tears in his eyes. He said, he reached over to his man and said, Jerry, thank you. And he got up and he walked out. And you know, I'll probably never see him again till eternity. But you know, folks, listen to me. Listen, you have no idea what one thing that you say. You say, did that mean anything to him? I'd say by his emotional reaction, something going on. Will this be something he remembers the rest of life? Probably not. Did it mean something in that moment? I hope so. And so, you know, just that little interaction, jumped up, gone before I left the church. And I thought to myself later on, you know, I know this sounds crazy, but probably 50 times during the trip, I just kept calling his name. God, I don't know who Thomas is, but help him, Lord. I don't know what he's looking for, but help him. I don't even know if he's saved. Could you help him, you know? Where do you get that kind of love for a stranger, someone you never met before? Not from Jerry Ross. I know that rascal. It don't come from him. And I don't imagine it comes naturally out of much of any of us. But it's something God can put inside of you. And so think about that. All right. Now, next. I wrote this down. How nice and unexpected it was to see a church prepare in advance to go the extra mile and making a visitor feel welcome while not overtly drawing attention to them. That's one of the balances I try to keep here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know, as a visitor, you come in, and honestly, again, I didn't really want to give out much information. Folks, look up here, okay? Nosy country people, look up here, all right? If you ask somebody their name, they just give you your first name. You know, don't quiz them. If they're not, you can tell they're hesitant. They don't really want to give you a whole lot. If they don't want to fill out the visitor's card, okay, I'm not going to put a gun to their head. There's people come in here all the time. They've been given a visitor's card. They have the opportunity to do. They don't choose to do it. Okay, listen, you know what? That's okay. I mean, I want them to have the opportunity, and I want to see if we can get the information, obviously, because I do want to follow up on them. But, you know, if somebody comes, and they came only one time in their entire life, and we have a chance to bless them, and we do it, and they never come back. Thank God for one chance to bless somebody, okay? So I like the balance in many of the churches. They were prepared. Many of them, I think, went the extra mile. One church in particular gave me a visitor's card. The usher did. They didn't have a time like we did. They just had ushers that were alert, and when I came in, they greeted me at the back door. They knew I wasn't from there, immediately gave me a visitor's card, asked me to fill it out, told me, if you do fill it out, and I thought this was neat. I've been to churches that have done this, and I think it's a good idea. They said, if you fill it out, and then after the service, you go back, and they point me right over to that welcome desk, that lady that's hosting there at the welcome desk. If you hand her this visitor's card before you leave, she's got a little gift for you. And again, another incentive for someone to get a visitor's card in. So I thought, well, I'm going to follow the program. Come on, I'm going to be cooperative. So I put Jerry from Indiana, all right, just passing through. No, I gave him some information, and then I took it back there. And honestly, I kind of slipped up because, you know, there was people around it, and I just slipped up and laid it on the thing and waved at her. And I took about two steps, sir, sir, sir. And I turned around. She said, oh, please, please, wait a minute. I got something for you. And she gave me a little plastic, kind of a clear plastic, like kind of like a small envelope like that. And inside of it was a Chick-fil-A gift card and a little instant coffee packet, gourmet coffee packet. And, man, I'm glad I turned that card in, man. I got to go to Chick-fil-A. I got a cup of coffee, man. And you know what? I already talked to Brother Nichols about this, but I'm like, man alive, that's a good idea. Hey, folks, don't think we've arrived. okay? Don't think we can't do better in any or in every area around here. Listen, don't get stuck in this mindset that if anybody changes anything, somehow I'm going to find a way to be offended by it. I hope that we're growing and getting better in every area of our church, all right? And so I thought, well, that's kind of a neat idea. And by the way, took their idea. We're going to do something very similar on our Friends and Family Sunday. We're just going to kind of try it out and give it a try. And then on our Red, White, and Blue Sunday, we're going to purposely be extra prepared to make sure that these firefighters and policemen and medical people that take up their busy lives and come here and help us and bring their equipment, I want them to feel appreciated when they leave here. But folks, not just them. I don't care who it is that comes in. I want them to leave this place saying, wow, those people were ready. And boy, they went the extra mile. And they made sure that I felt like I was welcome. The next thing I wrote down was this: how nice it was to receive a letter from one of the pastors a few days after I arrived home. And I got to say thank you to Cheryl for this. She takes care of getting all those letters ready. But folks, when somebody comes, if they'll fill out a visitor's card and we have a complete address, one of the things that we do by Tuesday morning, we have mailed out a letter signed by me, typed out by me to our visitors that Cheryl helps me with and gets them ready. And they get home and they get a letter from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And it's just something we do. But I thought to myself, I opened it up and I thought, well, that was nice. Somebody is thinking. Somebody's going a little bit the extra mile, okay? So now, preacher, that's good. That's what God taught you. Now, what about just some general instruction for the church, for all of us, so that we can go home and ponder this and, hey, Friends and Family Sunday and all the things that's coming up. How can I up my game in this area? Number one, everyone in this church should be a part of the welcoming committee of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Every regular attendee, you should consider yourself as part of the welcoming committee of your church. And so don't set back. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. Okay, well, I don't shake hands with visitors. Well, you can stop and get right with God and start loving visitors and be given to hospitality and learn to entertain strangers and become more like Jesus. You can do it. And even if it takes getting past your stubbornness, it's amazing. You can do it. Amen. Number two, hospitality should be something that we give ourselves to, that we give ourselves to. It should be a passionate pursuit of every member, not an occasional thing. Not hit and miss, not when we think about it. We ought to come primed every Sunday morning to pursue hospitality, to be given to hospitality. That shouldn't be, 10th on the list of things we do on Sunday. That should be up near the top, amen? So do that, be purposeful in doing it. Number three, what will help us do this is to remind ourselves what it felt like to be in the visitor's position. And I don't imagine there's too many people that I gave you opportunity. You know, if we really wanted to spend a little, 10 minutes, folks, of murmuring, complaining, and whining, let's share testimony. Everybody in here could stand up and honestly, say, preacher, okay, you ask, I'll tell you. And yeah, there was a time we went to a church and, there was years ago, and this went before I became a good Christian and before I grew in the Lord and all that. But me and my wife visited a church one time, and we walked in the back and sat down about halfway up, and everybody stared at us and looked at us, and then when we'd look, they'd look the other way, and then nobody came to shake our hand, nobody came to greet us, and pastor walked right past us, went to the pulpit, conducted the service, and during prayer time, you ever have that feeling during prayer time that you're being watched or something? So I'm sitting there during prayer time, and finally I just look up real quick, and every head in the church is turned staring at us, and the minute I look up, they all go like this, Folks, it was kind of creepy. I mean, it really was kind of creepy. Nobody gave us a visitor's card. Nobody tried to get any information. And so the pastor did go to the back door, so when I walked out, he looked at me, and he didn't ask my name. He said, well, I hope you'll come back sometime. Is all he said. I hope you'll come back sometime. And I looked at him, and I probably shouldn't have, but I looked at him and I said, why would I? I said, why would I? And he didn't know what to say. And I just went to the car. Hey, you know what? I hope I never hear that. Wouldn't that be sad if somebody came to Blessed Hope and walked out the door and I said, I hope you'll come back, and they would look at me and say, well, why should I? Okay, let's do our job here, folks. Let's all get involved in it. Think about that. So number four, purposely be on the lookout for first-time visitors. Now, folks, strangers is a very specific group here, and a group that works commanded to love and to entertain and to be given to when it comes to hospitality. So let's purposely look out for first-time visitors, especially, folks, listen, especially Sunday mornings. And I know I'm like you. I've always got a few people I need to go tell something to. I want to make sure I greet the brethren and all of that. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm hyper alert for visitors. Let's all just up that a little bit. And then, be proactive. Number five, most people do not show up to church uninvited. If we have visitors, we must first invite. Now, think about this. Well, preacher, I'd like to have more visitors. Well, that's why we're having Friends and Family Sunday. And we shouldn't just do it on that Sunday. But, you know, the reason, and I already told you this, that most people visit a church is because somebody that already attends here reaches out, builds some kind of relationship, invites them a number of times. That's why the Ross family went to the Rock Run Baptist Church for the first time. We didn't just pick a country church out in the middle of nowhere and show up for no reason. We had next door neighbors that built a relationship with us, kept inviting us till finally we came. And so let's produce some visitors by personal invitation. Number six, as we greet strangers who God brings to us, listen, folks, it should not be our mechanical duty to do so. Our greetings should be warm and authentic, one given from a heart filled with Christian fondness and affection and love. And again, well, preacher, I'm not picking on you. But you say, preacher, I just don't seem to have that. Well, God can give it to you. He can give it to you. And if you begin to ask him for it, it's amazing how the Lord will tenderize your heart. And you can truly look at somebody you've never met before and just truly care about them, okay? And so if you don't have that, I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying, you know, ask God for it, okay? Think about that. Decide in advance to love people before you ever meet them. Just make the decision. I'm just going to love people. Number seven, train yourselves to be prepared to carry on a conversation with someone you've never met. And I wanted to do a little training here, because I think sometimes people say, well, I don't even know what to say to a visitor, preacher. And I say, okay, well, let's do a little training. Let's do some real practical things right now, okay? Folks, I got five fingers on this hand, so it helps me remember, okay? I want to come and I'm gonna inquire about five things. First of all, I'm going to ask their name. And by the way, every time they give me something, I'm going to give them something, or I give them something in hopes they'll give me something. So I don't, first of all, say, hello, what's your name? I always say, hello, I'm Pastor Jerry Ross. So glad that you're here. So what's your name? And so get their name first, okay? Then I ask them where they live. Almost immediately after, I'll say, are you from the community around here? You passed through. Visitors this morning, we're camping out at Shackamack State Park. They're not from here. Young man, by the way, is trying to get a church started in Plainfield, Indiana. And he talked to me a little bit about that. This is their little, okay, hard disconnect, take a breath, get away, trying to get back. Church planning's not easy. I told him, I said, brother, church planning's hard. It's hard. He just kind of looked at me. He said, you know, we've got a few families, but we've been doing it 2 years, and it's not where I wanted. I said, brother, thank you for being faithful. Hang in there. And you know something he said? He said, I sat back there, and I heard, okay, this is going to be a gospel message. So as a preacher, you think, well, I came in, I disconnected, I've come to church, and God has something for me. So he said, you know, my first thought was, well, this is a gospel message. And then as I listened to you, and I listened to all the verses and all the descriptions, and he said, God just said, and this he shared with me, okay? He said, God just reminded me, you know what? Get back to the simplicity of the gospel. And he said, you know, sometimes when it doesn't seem like it's working, we switch to this or we switch to that, or maybe I ought to preach a series on this or try this, or maybe there's something. And he said, from the pulpit on a regular basis and from door to door, I just need to get back and to giving the gospel. And so I listened to this man. He came. I didn't know him. He told me he saw me one other time, one place, heard me preach, but we'd never met. And he came in, and he may never be back. But I'm glad that this place was a blessing to a young family. Yeah, I didn't know that about him. Why didn't you? Why don't you? Okay. Because you know what? Well, I don't know what to say. Well, that's I'm not mad at you. I'm just teaching you, okay? All right, so what's your name? First of all, give yours. What's your name? Are you from around here? Do you live in the community? And again, find out where they're from. And then I ask about their family. You might even see me when I'm talking to somebody going, 1, 2, 3. Okay, because, you know, it triggers. If you get a pattern going, then it helps you to remember. Then after that, I ask them about their family. So is your wife here with you? How many kids you got? And all this. And then I try to get to them and find out who's where and make a connection somewhere. And then I tell them about my family. And Cheryl, a lot of times, she was happened to be back there meeting the wife. And so I said, hey, this lady right here is my wife, and introduced him to her. And she was already introducing. Or you could sometimes say, hey, that lady over there, that's my wife over there. I got 3 kids. I don't know where they're at, probably out in the parking lot doing something. Who knows? But, you know, you're sharing information back and forth. And then I ask them, what do you do? You know, what do you do for a living? What do you do for a living? Sometimes I'll add to that, you know, well, what are your interests? What do you do for fun? You know, and I'll talk a little bit about their hobby or something. So what do you do? And then the last thing is, the last question, I think it may be one of the most important is this. Okay, what is your name? Where do you live? Who's your family? What do you do? And if it's not a job, gentlemen, if it's a teenager, instead of asking, well, where do you work? You can ask them, well, what do you like to do? What's your hobby? What do you do? What are you interested in? And then the last one is, I always look at them, I say, what can I do? Is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything I can do for you? You need anything? And, you know, folks, it's amazing because people go through their whole life being told by everybody else what they need, but very seldom does anybody ask somebody, is there anything you need? And when they, it's almost like you watch people, I want you to try that. I want you to take that one little question and use it on people that you've never met before and just say, hey, listen, it's been great talking to you, great to meet you. Is there anything you need? Is there anything I could do for you? And it's almost like in this selfish, me, me, me world, they don't hear that. And most of the time the answer is kind of a shocked look and then, well, no, I don't think so, but thank you. Or thanks for asking, you know. Okay. And by the way, from time to time, there is an answer to that. There is an answer to that. You know, more and more on visitation. I'm not good at doing it every time, and I know every door can be different. But a lot of times I'll ask somebody, are you doing okay? All right, me and Brother Dan went knocking on doors. You remember Ron's situation? He came to the door and, you know, no shirt on. Man, I wish I had that much hair on my chest, but no shirt. Too much information, too much. And, you know, had a small conversation with him, found out a little bit about him, and then just said, hey, so are you doing okay? And boy, he just got very emotional. And he began to share some things that's going on. Wife going through some real tough physical things. He's trying to take care of her and hold the fort down. Next thing you know, he's got tears in his eyes, his lips quivering. I said, Ron, come on. Would you just let me pray with you? Folks, listen, are we just going to mechanically, all right, here's the soul winning plan. We're a bunch of robots that go out there and we just, you know, here's the questions we ask and here's the answers. And if we don't get these answers, we go to, could we just kind of, I'm all for learning how to do it and do it right. But let's not lose the fact that these are real people out here, okay? And anyway, we ended up having a real sweet visit there and it was good. So remember that, okay? So it shouldn't be our mechanical duty. Our greetings should be warm, authentic, one given from a heart filled with Christian fondness and affection. Okay, number 7, we talked about this. Train yourself to be prepared to carry on a conversation. I taught you that. Number 8, use the angelic visitor motivation to help you be keenly aware of new visitors. See, preacher, you really think an angel's ever visited Blessed Oak Baptist Church? I don't know. It'd be pretty neat if I got to heaven, found out that it was. Well, it might not be neat, depending on what kind of week we were having. Or whether or not the preacher dropped the ball that week and didn't get over to him, then it might be a little uncomfortable. But I don't know. You can believe what you want to about that, but I'm going to use it for motivation. And the last one is this. Let's be especially alert in the next 5-6 weeks as we have this fall campaign, okay, folks? Friends and family, I hope you're out and visiting and inviting and texting people and calling people, and I hope there's a whole bunch of people that maybe it's their first time, but man, I don't want just that. I want every single person that comes here to walk away from here saying, you know what? That church cares. That church cares. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for all of the things that you teach us in the course of life. And Lord, whether we're at work or whether we're taking a break, whether we're in town or whether we are wherever life takes us each individually, it just seems like there's a never-ending opportunity to learn. And so, Lord, thank you for the things that you taught me and challenged me about. And Lord, help me to be better. Help me to be a better pastor. Help me to, Lord, be more given to hospitality. Help me to, Lord, care more for people. And Lord, help me to be able to show that in a real, authentic way. And so, Lord, bless our church, dear Lord. We've got some exciting weeks ahead. And there's a lot of people that's got a lot of extra jobs to do because some of the things we're doing, we're going to be extra busy. If we're not purposeful, it's going to be easy just to assume that somebody else is going to do it and somebody else is going to care, and we all drop the ball. So make us alert. Make us, Lord, sensitive. Lord, to your leading, we pray in Jesus' name.